took a couple worlds. She knows. She knows. See me when your clothes are on. Heaven knows what's going wrong. She knows. She knows. To come with me to the sea revolution. Good morning and welcome to episode 115 of Taking the Charge podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I am David Hein, and thank you for joining in on the program. This week we have a couple of interviews from European basketball, and also I want to talk a little bit about some New Zealand basketball, Oceania. U18 Oceania Championships are coming up this next week, and so I wanted to take a quick peek at that. So before we do that, though, I want to take care of some of the house cleaning. You can reach me on Twitter at High News. High News is the handle. At you can email me at High News, HEINNEWS at gmx.de. You can take a part in the Facebook group. Just put in Taking the Charge in Facebook, and you can catch us there. It's a community there that we're talking hoops here and there. And so that's the way you can catch me. Obviously, also over at highnews.com, where I'm trying to write a little bit more now, trying to think of some other things that I want to do. Both with this podcast and with the website, so kind of keep an eye out for that over the next few weeks / months. So this past week the last week of really bouncing around a lot. I had made it to Bayern and Bamberg probably like six times or so over the last 3 weeks, and made my final trip for a little bit, I think, up to Bamberg, and wanted to definitely catch their game against Reggio Emilia. Of course, they have one of my man crushes, the small little combo guard, Federico Massini, and they also have Amadeo Della Valle. Besides some pretty good veterans in European basketball, you know, Remontis Cancanas is there, Cincerini is there, Drake Diener, the Lavrinovic twins. So there's actually quite a bit. And actually also another guy that was kind of intrigued, didn't know anything about him beforehand, was Achille Polonara, who is just actually a couple days ago turned 23, long kid, and showed that he could shoot the ball a little bit outside, and rebound, got some jumps. I was quite impressed with him. He had 14-7 against Bamberg, and then I saw that at home against Paris last week, went for 24 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. So interesting, interesting guy there. Another interesting guy there. So this team is just racking up the interesting, interesting players. But I wanted to, you know, obviously the focus was on Massini. Went 0-4, scoreless, 0-4, 3 rebounds, and an assist, a steal. Got credited with a block. I was talking to him afterwards, and he's like, I didn't get a block. I don't know where that came from. But he'll take it. It's in the stats. Played 17 minutes. Della Valle had 5 points. 5 points. Hit one of five from the field. Had a steal. Otherwise, not too much. You definitely saw on Massini. Probably Della Valle too, but definitely Massini. Both of them, they're not physically there yet. Frederic Massini still obviously has time to get some to get some muscle on him. He won't. He'll turn 19 in March. Small guy. You know, he's not a big guy whatsoever. At 190, Della Valle is actually already 21. You know, so. They both got to get to the weight room. I was talking to Della Valle after, and he said it's kind of tough to get to the weight room so much being on the road with two games a week. But definitely, they need to get beefed up a little bit. You know, Messini, like I said, being 18, he'll turn 19. That weight will come eventually, and you know he doesn't need much space to get off his threes, but just. You know, because some of his game is driving to the lane, that you know he's gonna need to have a little bit more size to be able to do that. But it was good to see him just as a catch up. You know, after the under 18 European Championship in Konya, where he just was an absolute star there. You know, he struggled a little bit, but you know, still you know wanted to catch up with him. So. I had a chat with his coach, Massimiliano Minetti. So I'm going to start with that. His opinion of Federico Messini. So here's that, and then right after that, I'll do the interview with Federico Messini. So catch those two right after another, and then I'll catch you on the other side of that. Coach, Bamberg, we're here at Bamberg, Broza Baskets beat you guys 76-61. It was a 19-3 run, just really tough defense and then hit some big threes. Thoughts about, in general, about the team, about where you see the team?
Yeah, it was really tough, the third quarter, because for us it's the first time in Euro Cup. And this is Euro Cup, where the physical defense is something that could be the difference to win or lost. And the third quarter did the difference with a very good team, with a lot of talent, but the physicality in the game do the difference tonight.
One of the reasons that I wanted to definitely come up here was to see Federico Messini. I saw a lot of him over the summer at the Under 18 European Championship, actually also at the Albert Schweitzer Tournament, where he helped them win the title there. You were his coach last year. I know he didn't play much for the senior team, for the main team. But maybe talk about where he's at compared to where last year, and maybe the confidence that he gained last year. He's had some good games, still 18.
Yes.
And you saw that, you know, you saw the physicality that he's not there yet. But talk about him, talk about the development and where you see him.
Federico is a great talent. First of all, he loves basketball. His life is basketball, and he's doing this great experience because the main team this year has a lot of injuries. We have out two players on the guard spot, and so was the big occasion to play a lot of minutes. He's playing very good. He's learning a lot. He's a smart player because he's very quick to understand things, but it's clear that to this level, like tonight, for him at 18 years old, is tough. But the shooting talent is something that is really clear. The talent that nobody knows in this moment is that he's really smart. He's apprehending day by day with loving basketball from a part and from the other part looking for his future.
He's going to get stronger just with his age. Maybe he might grow an inch or two, whatever. But where do you see his game now? Where do you see he needs to take the next step? I mean, he's still 18. He has so many things to learn and to improve upon. But where do you see the next step?
The next step is to learn to be a pure point guard. In this moment, is what the experience to be point guard that is trying to do to the veteran level. He's learning a lot by Cinciarini, that is the point guard of the national team. But in this moment, Kaukenas too. But what he's learning is the timing, the call, spacing, also to play in the same time for the basket and to score. So is the next step is that. So to arrive and to play like scoring in the same way, try to let the team work.
Okay, fantastic. Frederico, we're here. Bamberg, you guys lost 75-61. I suppose every game, you have a young team. Every game is a learning experience. Maybe what did you learn from a game like this?
Yes, they are a very good team, physical team. They play really hard, and we have to know that if we want to improve, we have to play in this way, in the way that Bamberg played. And we have to work every day in the practice, hard, trying to be like them. That every day is like a game. Every practice is like a game.
You had a very successful summer with the Albert Schweitzer tournament, and also at the under 18. What kind of confidence did that give you coming into this season?
Yes, really a lot of confidence. I know that I can play. I can stay on the court. Those tournament, European Championship and Mannheim, helped me a lot to know my skills, my capacity to play. So I have a lot of confidence now.
You also had the advantage that Drake got hurt, that you had a chance to play. That first game actually against Bamberg, where you hit the threes, I think it was 10 points in the fourth quarter. Was that assigned to you? Say, you know what? Hey, I can play here. Was that like that for you?
Yes, that was the first game. I know that I can play at this level. From that game on, I start to know that I can be on the court. I have taken a lot of confidence on my skills and what I can do. And day after day, game after game, the confidence grow up, I don't know what to say. And now I have a lot of confidence, but thanks to the first game, maybe thanks to the game with Bamberg in Bologna.
But also a target. People know you from last summer. From the summer, they saw you in the first game. They know. They said, "Well, maybe he could play." How are you trying to work against teams? Maybe planning a little bit more for you. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, yes. I have to do my thing. I have to do my best for the team. I play with a lot of amazing players that can make me in the best situation to play. They make me open space. They make me open pass in the way that I am more free to play, that I can play in my way. So it's their help helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. What's it like playing, learning every day in practice from guys like Kokkinen, Cicerini? What's it like for learning from those guys?
Yes, they tell me everything in practice, and everything they tell me, I know I have to take care and try to do what they tell me in the game and in the practice too, and to improve every day. And I try to also when they don't tell me nothing, I try to see,
watch them,
to watch how they move, how they play, how they speak, the team, so the leadership too.
You're going to get bigger, you're going to get stronger just when you get older. What do you see as the next thing you want to, you have to do in your game? What are the next thing you want to do, you have to do?
I have to improve in defense, and I have to also, because of my body, I have sometimes I have difficulty in defense, so I have to get stronger, to improve like playmaker, to see the best pass maybe on the pick and roll, and these are the most important things.
A lot of people were at the under-18 European Championship. There were some NBA scouts here. You know, there's going to be people out looking at you. How do you look at that? How do you, that whole situation, you know, knowing that people are now saying, okay, we need to watch him. We need to see how he develops his game. How do you take that all?
I'm very happy, and I take it like I have to work hard to demonstrate them that I'm better than they think. So maybe if they think I'm a good player, I have to show them I can be a better player. So every day I have to work hard to learn from the veteran players and never stop improving.
First game of the year was of the Italian season was against Flaccadori. You weren't able to play in that game. How disappointed were you that he got the 2 minutes and you weren't able to play? What was that like?
Yes, I was a little bit disappointed. We were very excited for the first game, and unluckily he only played 2 minutes, and I was always on the bench. So, but that thing moved something in me that I have to keep working to, and I have done it. Then maybe thanks to the injuries too, I've learned more space, but I think that I've shown that I can play, and maybe someone else after the first game can do, oh, this season I'm not going to play. So I will stay always on the bench and stop working. I have continued to work hard every day, and I think for now I have earned good results.
So that kind of gave you motivation to say, oh, hey, Diego's on the court. I need to work even a little bit harder to get on the court here. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yeah. But also the coach has not put me on the court, so maybe I have to work hard
to get on there.
To show him that I can play.
Do you have the second game against them circled on your calendar? Do you know when they're playing? When you're gonna play?
Yes, really, I don't know when.
You don't know? Okay. Play. Are you keeping up with him? Are you? Do you talk to him on a regular basis?
Yes, always.
How's he doing?
He is happy. He's having more space now, and he told me that his coach told him that his minutes are going to increase, so he can have more space and show how talented he is. And so I'm happy for him.
I know we're really far in advance, but the last team is going to be decided in 2 weeks for the under-19 World Championship. You guys are there. How much are you looking forward to that? You know, going back to with Diego and all the other guys that you went with, the Albert Schweitzer and the U18. Looking forward to Crete in the summer.
I'm very excited because I think we can have a really good team. Also, if Oliva, Francesco Oliva will be with us, I hope. So we can have a really good team, we can do good things, and maybe with all the team, I think we can win.
All right, thank you, man.
You know, it was really nice to hear that, you know, he, Mussini, you know, that he definitely says, you know, if people don't think I'm working hard enough, then it means I need to work harder. You know, he's definitely, you know, grounded, knows that he's still got a lot to learn, still know that he's very far from being a finished product, but that he's getting there. You know, he's taking steps, he's learning from some great guys. I mean, Kaukainis, you know, has been through, you know, so many wars. Cicerini, you know, is a good guy to follow as well. So just having those two guys there, you know, it's definitely good. Good to have those two point guards there. You know, and learning tricks from Kalkanis and whatnot. So, you know, he's not there yet. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he develops the rest of this season, and then what he does at the Under 19 World Championship next summer in Crete, where he will definitely be a huge part of that team along with Diego Flacadori, who we talked about in the interview a little bit near the end of that one. So, you know, it was good to catch up with him, and you know, he didn't impress anybody necessarily. It was funny, one guy was like, after the games, like, you know, zero points. So you happy with your guy? I'm like, you know, I just wanted to see him. I just wanted to catch up with him. I just wanted to have a sighting of him, to compare where he comes into the European to the World Championship next year. You know, maybe I can catch him down the road, though I don't think so. You know, since it looked like they're going to be out, and there's no real, you know, reason for me to go down to Italy, not being, you know, doing scouting or anything like that per se. So, that's Federico Messini. Next night, last week, I went down to Munich to catch the Bayern Munich FC Barcelona game. What do you know? Another team lit it up from long range against Bayern. I don't know what it is, but for some reason they just can't defend a three. Navarro, Deshaun Thomas, Nakbar all hit three threes. Lampe hit his two. For the team, they were 12 of 26. I think they had seven in the second quarter alone. Just blew them out there, right there, and that was basically it. Bayern couldn't do anything from outside. I think they were 3 of 13 or something like that. Just not very good. You know, it was the you know, they still were without. They're still without their captain. Bryce Taylor, who still hasn't played this year, Anton Cavell, who is still out. Paul Zipser was out as well. Zipser actually did come back during the week in the away game at Kreilsheim, played the last 6:28 of the fourth quarter against the Merlins, and really impressed. You know, he showed exactly what the versatility that everybody, you know, is expecting from him. The 20-year-old kid basically, you know, comes in, hits his first three, misses a shot, hits a baseline jumper, you know, gets out on the break and hits a nice little layup, and then ends the game with a three at the buzzer, as well as putting in grabbing three rebounds, getting a block. You know, that's 10 points in 6 minutes. First action of the year. This was after he tore some knee ligaments in the second game of the playoffs for Munich. So it was definitely cool to see him on the court. That was the BBL game in Kreilsheim. He did not play, obviously, against Berlin. A guy who did play against Berlin, making his debut for the season, was Bo McCaleb, who, you know, they signed him on a one month deal, and he'll definitely help them a little bit, definitely defensively on the perimeter. You know, he fits into the mind frame of Pešić to just go race. You know, and sure, there was a little rust, you know, 2 of 8, you know, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. I think he'll help them. I think he'll help them get going things on offense. It's a little bit disappointing that that probably means Mišić will probably get a little bit fewer minutes, which is kind of disappointing because he's really come on and he's really played well. You know, it's you know, they still want to get to the top 16, It's not a lost cause yet. You know, it's basically them and Turo at 1-5 in that group C, and Milan is at 2-4, and you know, it's still there. You know, Milan is playing at Barcelona this week, and Bayern are playing at Panathinaikos, and they almost have to beat Panathinaikos to grab a unexpected road victory. To kind of get back on track, after the game, I was in the media in the journalist scrum with Bo, and got to ask a couple questions as well. So here's the little media talk with Bo McCaleb after his first game of the season for him.
So, how was your
feeling? I mean, it don't matter how I feel. I mean, it was a chance for us to move forward towards the top 16, and we lost our chance. Now we have to look at next game coming up on Sunday in the German League, and we have to be ready for next game, the Euro League.
It seemed very fast, very clear that the win isn't possible. How did you see it? When did you know, okay, this would be very, very hard today?
I mean, every game in EuroLeague is hard. I mean, no game is easy. I mean, we came out and we didn't come out. We didn't listen to what the coach told us. And Barcelona made some shots and was able to win the game. Now we have to go and watch film and learn from this. We'll be better next time.
It was the biggest home game of FC Bayern here during this season. Was it difficult to start for you as a new player at such a big game?
I mean, no, I've been playing in the EuroLeague for 6 years. I mean, I just got here two days ago, but that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. I'm here to try to help this team. We lost a game. And you can blame me just like you blame the rest of the team, because it's not an excuse that I just got here.
How do you feel to be back back out on the court? You know, you've been out all season, so what do you feel like to be back out there?
I mean, it feels good. I mean, the first couple minutes it didn't feel right, but after the game, you know, moved a little far, I started to feel myself. But they was up too many points. So all we could have did is fight at that point. But only thing we can do now is keep practicing and get better for next time.
How much rust is there for you?
Huh?
How much rust is there for you?
I mean, I'm not going to make excuses. We lost the game. I didn't play good, so that's it.
What are your expectations coming here? You have a month. Is it really just to prove yourself? Is it to just help the team win? Or what are your thoughts coming in?
I'm not coming here to prove myself. I mean, I'm coming here to try to help this team. I mean, the team is in a difficult situation, and I'm just here to try to help.
What's this like for you? I mean, you've always had contract extensions. You know, you've been here for a while, and here you come with a one-year deal.
I mean, it's the first for me. This is something I never did, but I was waiting at home too long, and I was just ready to play. And this is the best opportunity for me to try to help this team.
Is there any thoughts about staying longer, or is it just, you know what, let's just go day by day and see what it looks like? Or?
I have to help them win first. I mean, if I don't, I'm going to be going home.
All right. Okay. Thanks, man.
Yeah, again, it's a one-month deal. They'll obviously talk after the 1 month. You know, they first have to see. You know, Zipser coming back helps them. He's more of a wing. But, you know, they need to see what they have with Gavel and what they have with Taylor. If they're both back, they don't want to make as many changes as they have to. You know, this would be the only change that they've made so far. But still, if they don't have to, they probably won't want to. But, you know, they need to see what they have in Taylor, and they need to see what they have in Gavel. Throwing another guy in there in that guard mix is just going to create a little more not problems, but at least rotation issues, whatnot. So just trying to figure out what they need to do. Barcelona, on the other hand, man, they just cruise, man. They just, I was talking to some of my German, journalists before the game, and we're like, man, if Tibor Pleiss doesn't get 10 minutes, we're going to hashtag free Tibor. He ended up getting almost 15 minutes, a lot of time in the third and fourth quarter when the game was over. Ended up going 0-for-2 from the field, three points, four rebounds, two turnovers and a block. You know, it's a little bit disappointing because Pleiss had done so well at Baskonia, and was really looking forward to taking that next step. But, you know, he's behind the uber efficient Antti Tomic and then Lampe. You know, it's like, you know, it's, if he gets time, that means Lampe doesn't get time. And so it's a little bit tough situation for him. You know, if it hadn't been for the problematic money, maybe he'd be in the NBA right now. But it is what it is. But, man, that team has weapons and weapons and weapons. You know, Satoransky comes in and scores 10 points. I think he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter almost. But, I mean, he was just jumping out of the gym in the fourth quarter. Huertas can still run the show. Dolman did his thing. Navarro, you know, he's the living legend. You know, Thomas came in and hit three threes in the one quarter. So, I mean, it's just – and then Akbar's there. You know, Zonia's there. Abrinas is there. It's a stacked team, man. You really got to say this is a Final Four contender without a doubt. And, you know, they're going to – You know, they're just, they're, I don't know, you know, there's not many teams that are going to beat them, that's for sure. I had a chance after the game to talk to Marcelino Huertas, talk to him first a little bit about the game, and then kind of talked about what they want to take from that game. So here's my short little chat with him, and we'll catch you on the other side of that.
Congratulations. You guys used a three-pointer to pull away. Thoughts about going to 6-0?
Well, first of all, we had a very high percentage in the first half. We were shooting incredible from three-point line, and that I think was what got us going, especially to open like a good lead in the first half. And then in the second half, we had a lot of turnovers. Maybe we took bad decisions, especially in the fourth quarter when the game was. I mean, I'm not gonna say over, but you know, like maybe with a big lead within the clock running down, and we didn't play the way we were supposed to. But still, it's a big win on the road. We know Bayern has a very tough team playing here against their crowd. It's always really tough to beat them, and it's not easy to win the way we want, so we got to be happy about it.
Did you guys want to really come out right away? I mean, obviously you don't know if you're going to hit all those threes, but do you want to come out and really pressure them early on?
No, not really. We want to play the right way. You know, we know Bayern is a team that plays a lot with the crowd, and you know, when you play a game point by point, it's so hard to come to an end and take good decisions, because the crowd puts a lot of pressure on you. So the game went that way because, I mean, we played awesome in the first half, and of course that's the way we wanted to play always, but sometimes it's not the way it turns out to be, you know, because we play against tough teams, especially in the group we are. So we were happy it went that way, but we never expected it to be the way it was.
We're like 2.5-3 months into the season now. How do you feel that you guys are doing both here and in the Liga Endesa?
I think we're solid. You know, we've had up downs, but especially in EuroLeague, I think we can. Sometimes it seems we focus a little more than on ACB, and that shouldn't be the right way. And even though it's like a bigger competition, which the level might be a little higher, we have to focus the same way in both competitions, so we don't slip up in especially in the local league, in Spanish league. So I hope we can, you know, play the same way we play in EuroLeague on ACB, so we avoid to trip during the way.
Last question, what's the biggest thing you guys take out of this victory?
Well, it's another win. We want to reach a first seed in this group, so it's another win on the road, which is very important because we know how difficult it is to win on the road, and now we just got to keep focusing game by game and try to reach this first spot that we want.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks.
I have a strong feeling we'll be seeing Barcelona again in Madrid at the come May for the Final Four. Without a doubt, tons of weapons, like I said. I guess that's the EuroLeague. Did want to, like I mentioned at the beginning, the FIBA Oceania U18 Championship is coming up. Starts on Monday the 1st, goes to the 6th. It's in Fiji, and obviously the two big guns are New Zealand and Australia. At stake is the final spot at the FIBA Under-19 World Championship in Crete. And, you know, more than ever before, I think this New Zealand team has a chance. Has a chance to get the to knock off the Aussies. You know, some people I wrote over 2,000 words on this New Zealand team. I know that's kind of crazy, but ended up just keep going and going. Pretty intense look at them. Some of their bigger players, and you know they. The Australian team, if they you know, some people say that they may even have a chance to win the title, at least, you know, go to the podium in Crete. You know, if they have everybody there, you know, Ben Simmons, Thon Maker, if he doesn't play for Canada, Bolden, you know, then there's also the Aussie kids that took second place at the U17. A few of them would definitely probably be playing next summer for the 19s, Humphreys, Vasilevich, Wilson, Froling, Clark, White. And there's a couple of their kids. You know, first they got to get there. Simmons ain't there. Maker's not there. Bolden's not there. And this is a pretty good group of New Zealand talents. Led by Ty Wynard. Whose father is actually a legendary wood chopper, lumberjack wood chopping, multi-world champion. Kid 16, 2014 was a crazy year for him. He played in the New Zealand BBL, NBL, went to the Jordan Brand Classic, was in China for the Nike All-Asia Camp. Was with the Tall Blacks on a tour against South Korea as a 16-year-old, and was second to last cut from the World Cup side, and so, you know, he's a big guy, and you know, he's definitely going to be someone loud on the radars of scouts in the coming years. It would be fantastic if he were there in Crete, but on the other hand, that would mean that Australia don't make it. But I have a real big feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of Tay Wynyard in the future. You know, some decent sized schools are already colleges, US colleges are already looking, recruiting him. John Calipari with Kentucky was even rumored about going down to visit him. The team also has Izzy Laifa, who's a little point guard, 18-year-old little point guard, the son of a multi-champion NBL champion, who used to play with Perro Cameron, the legendary Perro Cameron. He was also close to making the World Cup team last summer, but was dealing with some concussion issues, which I guess he's had a couple in the last couple of years. So that's something that they want to watch out for. But you know, it was a sort of an undersized point guard, but really quick. He's there. Then there's a couple of kids from Otoga, that being, Sam Timmons and Joe Cook Green. They led Otoga Boys High School to the national title, high school title, which is kind of a big deal because that region south of the South Island hasn't really produced many players. Probably the biggest name is Mark Dickel, and you know, he came back. Helped build up that area, and you know, has had a big impact on them. And they have a couple of good kids, you know, Timmons and Otoga, and so they'll be both in the squad in Fiji, as will Matt Freeman, who reached the final of the the New Zealand high school tournament, 16-year-old. big guy. He was also with Wainwright at the Nike All Asia camp, and he's already played. He's already, you know, been playing with the Australian NBL team Breakers, New Zealand Breakers, in their system for 3 years. So he's got some experience with some of the other exciting young New Zealand players, Ruben Tirangi, Isaac Fotu, being just two of them. Guy to watch out for, another guy to watch out for would be Dane Brooks. Put his name in YouTube and see kid jumping around, man, like a crazy nut. Tell you, he's got some jumps. Otherwise, another guy might be Jaden Bezant. They do have two guys that they're missing who I think could really help them, especially against the bigs, Froehling and Humphreys, that being Jack Salt, who's in his freshman year at University of Virginia, 6'11" guy. And then there's the 6'8", 6'9", Gus Riley, who's at Bryant University. They would both definitely be good to have on board, but they're not there. They're not there, and so New Zealand's got to do it. I would definitely say the guys that New Zealand are missing would have less impact than the guys that the Australians, you know, if they had Bolden, if they had Baker, if they had Simmons, you know, this probably would be pretty much, you know, without a doubt. Maybe even another sweep, without a doubt. But, you know, New Zealand, they got a chance. They got a chance. They got to, I think it's best of three. And it would be the first time that they play. It would be the first time they qualified for the U19 Worlds. They played at the Worlds in 2009, but only because they were hosts. You know, there's one spot from Oceania, and New Zealand always got a battle with Australia, and they just haven't been able to nip them yet. And I think, though, that this has this team has a pretty good chance, and so it'll be interesting. We'll know next week, maybe even by the time that I record, the game might be over by then. The series might be over by then. We'll have to see. So good, catch that. I actually was gonna check. I haven't checked yet and see if those games are gonna be streamed anywhere online. Hope they are. I doubt it, but I kind of hope they are. If I do find out, I will definitely tweet it out and put it on Facebook group. So I guess that's the show this week. I'm not gonna really be going around any games this week. I'll probably just be home. I'll be watching the EuroLeague this week from home. And I'm not going out to the Euro Cup games at all. Just kind of catching some stuff here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please, if you have any comments, send me tweets. High News, send me emails. highnews@gmx.de, or catch us in the Facebook group. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have some great interaction. With that, I will let you know what song you're going to hear, and then we'll say goodbye. The song coming up is called Cinnamon Girl and is by The Transistors. And, of course, all the music that we play on the Taking the Charge is from freemusicarchive.org. Great music, tens of thousands of songs. Great for podcasts, MP3 players, and whatnot. So with that, wish you a pleasant week, and enjoy the hoops, and talk to you in a week's time.
Every little cinnamon girl only took a couple worlds. She knows. See me when your clothes are on. Heaven knows what's going wrong. She knows. To come with me to the sea revolution.
Chris Fleming, coach of the Bros of Baskets. I listen to Taking the Charge podcast from David Hine and Oz Davis.